Our New Testament reading this morning is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 25. Listen for the word of the Lord. And every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds," he also says, "I will remember their sins and lawless deeds no more. Where there is no forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he has opened up for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for your word, for your reminders, for the way you keep telling us as we keep coming back, you keep reminding us of your love and care for us. Help us to hear your word to us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I forgot to put the content warning in before the before Marlene's scripture reading. There is mention of infertility. Both in that passage, I apologize for not bringing that earlier, and in the sermon. Been thinking this past week about those lines in the story where Hannah asks God to remember her and not forget her. And then later scripture says, the Lord remembered her. And I've been thinking about those verses and that fascinating claim about God's memory. We know that's not how this works, right? Like, God doesn't forget us. God never forgets us. But we see this motif all through the Bible. Here's Genesis 8:1. God remembered Noah. After the flood, they're all sitting high on the water. And it says God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the domestic animals with him on the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth and the water subsided. Also see it in Genesis 19:29, the story of Abraham and Lot when Sodom is destroyed and God rescues Lot. It says, that's not right. It says God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. Pardon me. Still getting over this cold. Or in Exodus, God remembered God's covenant. Or Exodus 32, Moses implored the Lord God and said, "Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, who you swore to them." Anybody think God forgot? Anybody think God forgot? Does God forget about us? I don't think so. Does it feel like God forgot about us? Frequently. And then sometimes you know, that thing that happens when it seems like nothing is working and you're praying and hoping and you're working and trying and then all of a sudden something happens and you're like, oh, God remembered me. It's that feeling, like we talked about a couple weeks ago with the Psalms, that it's an expression of how we see God as having forgotten us. And y'all know those weird German words that we don't have a word for stuff in English, like Schadenfreude? You know that one? You know Schadenfreude? It's a delightful word. It means, it's about the joy that you have when someone else is having a bad day. Schadenfreude. You know, like when somebody that you don't like is just lost. It's a delightful word. What does it show up on there? Close enough. It's that word. So we see this in the Bible where they talk about God remembering and God forgetting, and it's like that. It gives you words to talk about how that feels. It's interesting, too. God's not the only biblical character who's asked to remember. There's also a bunch of people who forget. Like in Deuteronomy, the phrase, remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. I haven't looked it up in the Hebrew, but in the New Revised Standard Version, it shows up verbatim in Deuteronomy 5:15, 15:15, 16:12, 24:18, and 24:22. Five times verbatim, remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. And this is not a passive remember, it's a remember, and because you remember, do. Remember and keep the Sabbath because you were slaves in Egypt. Remember when you have slaves and you set them free, make sure that you give them plenty to get started with their new lives with, because remember, you were a slave in the land of Egypt. You shall not deprive a resident alien or an orphan of justice. Remember, you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Leave gleanings in your field, like we talked about last week. Don't pick up everything. Don't pick up all the grain. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Remembering is important, as I'm sure you all know. It shapes our identity, it shapes our personal identity, and also our cultural identity. Like, so much of who we are comes from remembering. If you woke up tomorrow and you couldn't remember the important stories about your life, would you still be you? I mean, yes, kind of, but there's so much of who we are is wrapped up in our memories, what we remember. Like, and as a culture, we have, one of the things we have is these shared memories. Like, oh, this is more of a British one. You know, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder treason plot. That's one thing for the British culture. Or September 11th, what's the slogan for 9/11? Never forget. Or remember the Alamo, you know? There's all these stories, these things that we remember. And yes, it is the Sunday immediately following Memorial Day. Well, Veterans Day. But Chris has decided to merge the two holidays to include Veterans and Armed Forces Days all in one. And it's interesting what it does to us as a society based on what we remember, what goes into our history books. Do we talk about pilgrims? Do we talk about Native Americans who had their lands taken from them and treaties repeatedly violated? What are the stories that we're going to remember? Are we going to remember the beauty of southern plantations or the suffering of slaves who provided forced labor to build that wealth? Are we going to remember Henry Ford or all the workers who built every car that has his name on it? Whose faces are on our money? Whose stories get told? As I said, we got three holidays for remembering those who were in the armed forces, one of which this past Thursday, Veterans Day. We also have Memorial Day, remembering, and Armed Forces Days. And that says that as a country, the United States thinks it's important to remember those who served or died or are currently serving in the military. The stories we remember are so important both to our corporate identities and to our personal identities. What stories are we remembering? At the end of every day, Kristen and I, or one of us, will talk to Ryan about his day. We'll just remember things that happened during the day, significant events. Usually it's mostly positive, but I also try to remember when things happened that weren't positive so that we're not like gaslighting him or telling him, trying to pretend that everything was great when it wasn't all great. To let him know all of his experiences are real, not just the ones that made him happy. Speaking of remembering, there's a wall of pictures of pastors outside my office. Have you guys seen that? I call it the wall of men and Alice. There's no associate pastors on that wall, I noticed. And there's no members on that wall who've been here longer than any of those pastors ever were, maybe who put in more work than they ever did. Some members were probably put more work in than the interim pastors who were only here for a year. They did it for free. We pastors got paid. So what's it mean that's the story that we've told with those pictures, that that's who we're remembering? I talked a few weeks ago in my sermon about the Psalms, how sometimes remembering someone that we've lost can be an important part of who we are. You ever driving around and pull up behind one of those cars at a red light that has "in memory of so-and-so" on the back window? Yeah, just thinking about that. And there's other stuff. There's park benches or bricks like we have out there in memory of various people, I think our Sing the Faith little books here say "in memory of Jim Nettleton." I don't know whose name might be on the hymn books. We make books and photo albums and journals and listen to music to help us remember who we are, who we've lost, who we're connected to. My favorite memorial, you know the poem Ozymandias, the traveler from an antique land who said, "Two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them on the sand, half a sunken, shattered visage lies, and on the pedestal these words appear, 'My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. Nothing besides remains.'" Round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level stands stretch far away. It's a way that we try to get remembered. We build stuff. We put our names on it. And you know, one thing we do here once a month at Fairplane is a memorial too. In a way, the fact that we meet here on a Sunday itself is a reminder of the resurrection, but I'm thinking especially of the Last Supper where Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me." He takes Passover, which is in memory of the Exodus, and says, "When you do this, remember me." This is just an extended meditation on remembering. I've thought from time to time how I want to be remembered or whether I'll be remembered. I don't see that happening more than maybe 100 years till the last person who remembers me is dead. Maybe I'll do something really good or, God forbid, really bad. And, you know, people will study that, but probably won't be too long remembered, and that's okay. It's okay because God remembers. God remembers us, and God forgets about our sins, as I read in the New Testament passage earlier. Michael. Okay. God remembers us. There's a verse in Isaiah that said that God writes. Well, he's talking to Israel, but I think it's perfectly okay to just transfer the application. He said, "God, I've written your name on my hands." You ever do that? You just write something down on your hand so you don't forget it because it's constantly in front of you. I've written your name on your hands. Will a nursing mother forget the baby? These might forget, but I won't, says God. God remembers us. Like, no? You know the story of Samson? He's the Bible's, like, strong man, and he's been captured by his enemies, the Philistines, and they've gouged out his eyes and hung him between two pillars, and they're mocking him and celebrating that they have finally won. And Samson says to God, remember me just this one last time. And he gets his strength back and pulls the pillars down. Or the man who's executed next to Jesus, who says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And what's Jesus say? Truly, truly, I say to you, this day you will be with me in paradise. I've prayed that prayer more than once this week. Jesus, remember me. Not because I believe that God's forgotten me, but because it's been a tough week. We've all been sick. We've had to keep the kids home from school. Ryan went to school 2 days this week, and Micah was home every day this week, climbing up on the counters and getting into all kinds of trouble. It's been a week, and just every time I've just gone walking briefly, maybe from the house to the garage, I'll have that prayer back in my heart. Jesus, remember me. Hey, okay, remember me. Not because, you know, not because I've been forgotten, but because that's how it feels. You just feel like maybe you've been forgotten. And also it's a prayer asking God to do something. So I want to invite you to add that prayer to your repertoire, to those, for those times that you don't have a prayer, just Jesus, remember me. Jesus, remember me. Let's pray. Jesus, remember us. We feel forgotten. We feel left behind and abandoned. And we know you haven't. But we still ask you to remember us and not forget us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.